reclaiming our children from the same criminal clique. So who is the enemy now? You know, that's where we're headed now. And we're going to do it with a 3D system of organizing. We're going to delegitimize, we're going to disobey, and we're going to disrupt. We're going to delegitimate this war, and we're going to delegitimate this system. And if that's not enough, we're going to disobey them. And if disobedience is not enough, we're going to disrupt this system. We slept in the mud, and we did the dirty work. We brought the wars back into our homes to be the burdens of our families, and they made us soldiers, so now that's what we're going to do. We're going to act like soldiers. We're not afraid of poverty. We're not afraid of prison. We're not afraid of death, so now what are you going to do? Without our fear, they have no power. And in movements, those who are not afraid will show those who are a little afraid the way. And we're not making a request. We know the difference between an assertive request and a demand. We're making a demand. Bring them home now. Let the Iraqis be the architects of their own future. And it could be grim. If there's a civil war in Iraq, there's a civil war in Iraq. We had the bloodiest war in human history as a civil war right here in this country to settle accounts that had to be settled one way or another. If that's what's got to happen, that's what's got to happen. This is not wine. It's not improving with age. We need to get out of there. The Iraqis have 5,000 more years experience with civilization than we do. They can figure it out without us there. If you want to compromise, you go turn on Judge Judy. And if you want to retreat, go book a cabana in Hawaii. And if you want to surrender, you go to Appomattox and read the plaques, because we ain't going anywhere. Thank you.
That's it for Sprouts. For further information on the campaign calling for the U.S. government to pull its troops out of Iraq, contact bringthemhomenow.org on the web. This week's program was recorded and produced by your host. Distribution and coordination came from Pacifica Radio, with many thanks to Pete Caracas and Ursula Rudenberg of Pacifica Radio. From WBAI in New York, New York, I'm David Occhiuto. Till next week on Sprouts, thanks for listening.
And coming up next on Freak Radio, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, special guests from the Homeless Service Center Board of Directors meeting, and a special report on the Santa Cruz Coast Hotel brouhaha last night and the night before. Stay with us.
Small thing once happened at school that brought home a question for me. Somehow it taught me to see the price that I pay to be cool. Diane is this girl that I know. She's strange, like she doesn't belong. Don't mean to say that that's wrong. We don't like to be with her though. So when we all made a plan to have this big party at Sue's, most kids at our school got the news, but no one invited Diane. Well, the thing about Taft Junior High is secrets don't last very long. I acted like nothing was wrong when I saw Diane start to cry. I know you may think that that's cruel. That doesn't make me very proud. I just went along with the crowd. It's sad, but you have to at school. You can't pick the friends you prefer. You fit in as well as you can. I couldn't be friends with Diane, and then they might treat me like her. In one class at Taft Junior High, we study what people have done with gas chamber bomber and gun in Auschwitz, Japan, and me lie. I don't understand all I learn. Sometimes I could sit there and cry. The whole world stood idly by to watch as the innocent burned. Like robots obeying some rule. Atrocities done by the mob. All innocents doing their job. What was that for? Was it cool? The world was aware of this hell, yet how many cried out in shame? What heroes and who was to blame? The story that no one dared tell. Promise to do what I can to not let it happen again. To care for all women and men. I'll start by inviting
Hey.
And that was Whatever Happened to the 8-Hour Day, as well as earlier you heard Courage or Diane, both by singer Ann Feeney, and the album Have You Been to Jail for Justice. You're tuned to Freak Radio, www.freakradio.org, or possibly listening to the Treasonous 101.1 FM, which we have nothing to do with. Keep that in mind. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, 2 hours of talk, schlock, and who knows what else. Actually, we're going to be covering a number of things tonight. There have been continued hearings on the Clearview Court destroying Santa Cruz Coast Hotel project, which is, I guess, from the Sentinel's latest report, coming back next Tuesday at City Council. Some of us have thought it was a wham-bam, thank you, sir, done deal at the... to be done last night, Wednesday night, but apparently that didn't happen. I was actually at both sessions. I was arrested at one, and I was silenced. Actually, I wasn't silenced. I was shunned at the other. Kind of, not terribly unusual. And why even get into it? Well, because it was me, of course, but also because it has to do with how critics are treated by the city council and how people who are trying to assert their rights find it very difficult to do that, even under the enlightened progressive regime of professed socialist feminist mayor Mike Rodkin. But it's interesting. It is true. The power of the people seems to be able to make itself felt. We've seen massive community outpouring in a relatively small amount of time, a lot of strong arguments last night at Santa Cruz City Council. And I'm hoping to get on the air Ralph Myberg, an advocate for... either going slow with or dumping the hotel project. I guess I'll let him speak for himself. He's talked about it before on these airwaves or on these internet waves, depending on which way you're listening to us. We're broadcasting on the internet, but I guess rumor has it's going out on the airwaves. So that's going to be one thing we're doing, and I'm going to be playing some interviews that I did both days, particularly on Tuesday. There were two special sessions of the Santa Cruz City Council. One was Tuesday night in the City Council chambers, and the second one was last night, Wednesday night, in the Civic Auditorium. The Civic actually was not as full as has been the case with past events involving the City Council, which have been thrown there. Generally, the place is three-quarters full or even packed. This time it was about, I would say, maybe a fourth, maybe a third full. It certainly wasn't much more than that. But that's a lot of people in the Civic Auditorium. Before we get into it, though, I have in the studio with me the hardworking SAFE performer, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, street performer, Valerie Christie. Hey, Valerie.
Hello.
And, we played your music, and we've heard of your interviews, and I know you're out there at the old Huff Table often on, I guess you're strumming away on Wednesday, and at the Huff Table you're up there doing petitioning on Thursday nights.
Yeah, that should be tonight, but nobody showed up to help me. So I decided that I'd check out what's going on. And, there's a huge amount of people marching right now.
And the counter-inaugural, the Inaugurate the People.
Yeah, I just ran right into them. It was huge. And I was really happy because I was just watching Democracy Now! And I was saying, well, why doesn't Santa Cruz do that? And they were all out. There was a huge amount of people out there.
Is it the town clock?
At the town clock.
Now,
yeah, they just got
up there.
How huge
is it? Were they in the streets? They're
going to have to be in the streets. There's a lot of them.
Any police hanging out? I guess you were driving by.
I didn't see any police, but Channel 8 was there.
Uh-huh.
The police are probably heading that way.
calling all cars.
Well, they're at least over there, like they have on the news. They were saying there were snipers and all this stuff watching out over and huge cops.
In Washington, yeah.
Yeah, so at least it's not like that.
Well, you never can tell. Maybe our own police department is taking a page from the book of those who know how to deal with terrorist threats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's also a meeting tonight of the Homeless Service Center, of the Board of Directors, and the Board of Directors has a monthly meeting, has no special deal. They kind of, this is the board that funds, controls, authorizes, oversees the minuscule amount of shelter, of emergency shelter, that homeless people have in Santa Cruz. In the winter, that's the Winter Armory Shelter, which provides about 75 beds, or 100 in a pinch, and about 60 floor spaces on the floors of churches in the Rotating Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, which, as I pointed out in the past, is a technically illegal program under the city's camping ordinance. Because under the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance, it's illegal to go to sleep in a domicile. I'm sorry, in a non-domicile, that is, say, a building that is not a residence, such as a restaurant, a cafe, a church, which is not designed for human habitation. It's designed for worship. It's designed for conference. It's not designed for human habitation. It is illegal to put people up inside a church in Santa Cruz, with the exception, let's say, of those quarters which are designed for residents. That's my understanding of the law. That was the understanding I got from former attorney Ray Gluck-Grunig. So the entire program has been illegal for 15 years, which doesn't mean we should shut it down, obviously, but it shows how easily they will bend the law for the programs they like and how they will ignore the realities for the great majority of homeless people, 1,500 to 2,000 of them outside. 160 people can get into a sheltered situation, provided they stand in line for a couple of hours coming and going, provided they don't have nighttime jobs or late jobs that require them to miss that pickup, provided that they aren't minors, provided they have photo ID. There's a whole bunch of other provisions. But even if all those requirements are met, there are only 160 spaces. And what, of course, Mayor Rotkin and Executive Director Ken Cole will show you if you ask, is that on many nights those spaces aren't filled up. And that often has to do with how the whether people actually want to get into those shelters, the kinds of burdens that they pose. What's obviously needed is some kind of campground or outdoor shelter. You lived outside, right, Valerie?
Yeah.
In fact, what, you lived up in the woods? Illegally, I might add?
Well, I actually lived in town first, and then I lived in the woods later.
How long ago was that?
It was in the early 80s, so I guess that's about 20 years ago.
And were you yourself threatened with camping tickets? Were you afraid of that? Did you?
No, you could get kicked out. It wasn't really that harsh. I never felt like I was really going to get caught, like scared, going to get caught. But there were times where I wanted to make sure I wasn't noticed. I wanted to hide so that I wouldn't be kicked out. Because obviously they don't want you sleeping on people's places, or, well, I was sleeping at Lighthouse Field, and of course now you'd be kicked out of there, guaranteed. But nobody ever checked it out then. I was totally free there.
So you think things have gotten worse for the camper over the years?
Oh, definitely.
And there are some who would say, well, this is the onslaught, the onmarch of civilization, the nature of progress and changing times. You've got to learn to go with the flow. What's your feeling about that?
Well, I think that, since the Bush era and the Reagan era has been in, obviously we're starting to worry about terrorism instead of communism, but it's all the same thing. They're worried about us, people trying to change the world and, you know, not go to work and keep the system going. And the last thing they want is to have people doing that. So if they can make it illegal, perhaps they can stop people.
Well, you're not suggesting that Mayor Rotkin is a Bushite, are you? I mean, he would be the last to embrace Bush and the first to criticize him. In fact, he probably will show up at the rally. I guess
it's so funny you're saying that. He's act just like Bush.
How so?
He's doesn't listen. He's rude. He creates his own rules just like Bush, and says pretty much has like the cops watching everything and getting rid of anyone who says anything out of line. As far as he calls out of line, he makes his own rules up. And, obviously it has to be in his favor, and that has to be supportive of him. And if it doesn't support him, then you're no good.
Well, there are those who would dispute that because Rotkin just provided over 2 days of hearings where many people spoke against the plan for the hotel, which Rotkin, I haven't seen editorial pieces that state he actually favors the hotel, but it has been my sense that he does. Maybe I'm wrong about this, that he is the one who put it on the fast track, and I think it's kind of established wisdom that, you know, that he's one of the, you know, kingmakers behind this, and that was one of the reasons I thought it was likely to go rolling right through. Because there is a Rotkin-Matthews majority. Matthews, of course, is the vice mayor in the Santa Cruz City Council. You know, why don't we take an opportunity now to, I'll take an opportunity, since I control the show, to play a little of what happened at City Council a couple of nights ago, and I may actually be getting a special guest. We're going to have some guests from the homeless service centers who are going to the board of directors meeting. I mentioned the homeless service center. I kind of wandered off from that subject. But the homeless service center, which meets monthly, is going to have some unusual guests tonight. That's people who have demanded or requested or pressured, a little of all three, I guess, that the sleeping ban lawsuit be put on the agenda of the Homeless Service Center Board of Directors. That's the lawsuit being prepared by attorney Kate Wells and David Beauvais to overturn the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance, the law that makes it, the part of the camping ordinance that makes it illegal to sleep anywhere outside or in a vehicle between the hours of 11 o'clock and 8:30 in the morning. It's, I guess, it's probably going to be argued on a number of grounds, but I think we'll have to hear what kind of presentation they've made when they come back from the Homeless Service Center, but I'm hoping they'll come in. Mm-hmm. We may get a visit also from Mark Levy, who said he may bring his twangy guitar our way after he's finished entertaining the masses in that big demonstration you mentioned. I don't know if we can kidnap George McGovern. I doubt it. I think he's probably got a booked-up schedule. I hear Matt Gonzalez, the former chair of the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, a Green Party guy and actually a person who fought for some homeless rights up in San Francisco, as well as Ralph Nader, who is famed in song and story for at least saying, get out of Iraq in 6 months. I think that's what he was saying last year, instead of get out now, which some of us have, you know, is becoming now established wisdom, now that everybody has given up on trying to get Dean or Kucinich, Kerry elected. We're now, you know, saying, okay, now we're going to get back to trying to stop the war. And that I think, was that, did you see any signs or banners at this protest, Valerie? Were there any signs?
Lots of signs.
Like, do you remember what any of them said? Or?
I think most of them were either against Bush or against the war.
So the war is becoming the big issue, and indeed a number of Republicans are defecting. And indeed, finally, Representative Farr, who I have denounced for months, well, years on his policy in Iraq, but because we have to remember that although we have an Iraqi war, as those of you who are listening to the previous speaker, Stan Goff, I believe his name was, he was broadcast, you know, in a feed or in a replay from another place prior to my show. Under the Clinton administration, there were far more Iraqis killed than under both Bushes put together, including Bush's war against Iraq, because of the sanctions that were levied by the Clinton regime. So for all those who want to be, you know, jumping in line behind the Democrats, that's, you know, and I guess it's, you know, I don't want it to sound too facile about this and sound too, you know, glib, because a lot of people felt that if you register your disapproval of current policies by supporting a change in administration, even if the change is incremental, or even worse, you're saying, see, you started the war, we're going to turn you out. And so that's a way of saying, we don't like what you did, even though you're putting somebody maybe worse, or who may not be any better, or may not be substantially better. So it's sort of like a vote of no confidence. Mm-hmm. But in fact, you know, polling shows that Bush has a vote of no confidence around the war. It may be that there was so little difference between the candidates on the war position that didn't make any difference. Or, you know, I mean, it's hard to figure out exactly how people vote in these elections. It's like, you know, in the United States, it's like choosing cereal boxes. You know, you're going to get Wheaties or Cheerios. You're going to get Corn Flakes. I guess I show my age with these ancient cereals, but I guess they're still around, you know. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio, Freak Radio, if you will, and if you want to call in, there's a call-in number, 427-3772. I apologize for not having given it before. Area code is 831-431-427-3772. I don't think we have a Pages in Color chat room. I think that there's still a problem with this machine, but I'm gonna see if maybe I'm wrong. Wouldn't that be nice if I'm wrong? Let's see here. I'll give it a quick try. You know, while I do, I'm going to play some interviews from the Tuesday night council session. I was lurking around outside, and you hear me accosting various individuals, pro and con. I'll begin with that while I futz around and see if I can get things going. You can always call in, by the way, if you have something you want to say, whether it's about what's happening out there on the streets, what's happening around issues of poverty for poor and homeless people, how the police have been treating you lately, what you've seen at city council in the last few days you think is worth commenting on. So while you are pondering what to do, I will change the tape. and give you something else to ponder about. Ponderously. Here we go.
We're outside the city council chambers. It's about 25 to 8. Inside, the staff is presenting its program. The council chambers are packed. The outside is also packed with looks like about three or four rows of chairs. People are standing. Others have yes and say no or go slow signs that they're wearing on their own persons. Liberty, what are you here for tonight?
Everywhere. I vote for what?
Why are you here tonight?
Oh, I'm here tonight because the convention center and the garage is 6 floors. My bedroom is 15 feet from the garage. They close this beautiful garage that they say they close to Bay and Westcliff, and they open to us, Clearview Court, who is Mobile Home Park, and all the garbage is going to be on us. Why? Because we are poor, we don't have power. And this is like we are in the third world.
I mean, got funny accents, yeah, too, I noticed.
Yeah, it's like we are in Nicaragua or someplace that the people with money gets everything nice, and the people with no money gets garbage. And that's what's happening in the city.
So you have a little, it looks like a light yellow say no or go slow square, which you've got pinned on your coat. And I also see other kinds of squares that say yes on it. The yeses outnumber the say no's, the no's outnumber the yeses.
I can tell you a story about the
yes. A man with a yes.
Yeah, well, it's a union ploy. You know, I'm in a union. And
what's your name?
Jeff. And
you also live at Clearview.
I also live at Clearview.
Right.
And a union called me up to go down here and put in the support for the workers, but they're not considering the impact it's going to have on the residents, which is more traffic congestion. The roads are already in disrepair as it is, and they're going to encourage more traffic to wreck it even more. They should be putting in a Ocean Street bridge and straightening out the flow of traffic going to the beach. Right now, everybody has to do a little maze to get to the beach, you know, jogging through different neighborhoods through Barson and Lower West Side community. Then they got $30 million to spend on this project, and they're not doing any kind of studies at all on it. And there was an article in the Sentinel. Well, they're not doing an economic study. They did an environmental report in the San Jose Mercury Monday. It talked about how it's only one-third of the revenues generated for the conference center today as it was in 2001, you know, when the computer boom. So revenue's falling off as far as the conference centers go.
But wait a minute. Can't we trust our city manager, Dick Wilson?
I really don't know if you could really trust anybody in Santa Cruz is handling our money. I mean, they put up all those signs, and they put up the River Street sign. They've been spending money on these, I don't even know what. You know, and we're broke. So if we're broke, our money's been mismanaged.
Wait a minute. You're not suggesting a city manager for life, Dick Wilson, city manager since 1984, has been, shall we say, screwing up?
Well, you know, I mean, granted, it's a tough job, but he's a professional. And if I was in his job, I would have been fired, you know, doing the same, you know, on a scale performance. Scale on performance, me doing my job and him doing his.
It's a 20-year veteran. You wouldn't want to fire Dick.
Oh, hell if I wouldn't. I mean, at least get somebody that can manage. I mean, somebody that can keep our funny and make our... I mean, we knew the crunch for the computer industry was going down, and we still were on this, spin policy, you know?
Thank you, Jeff.
No, you're welcome.
We're talking with Herb Schmidt. Herb, you're with a group.
Well, I don't know. I've lived here for over 40 years.
You're an individual who's here.
That's right.
Yeah. I see you've got a yes, a C sign in your hand.
Of course.
But it's both C and yes, both yes and C.
Yeah.
But nothing in French.
Absolutely not.
Well, you know, it is a French.
We'll go with
we,
it.
We all the way
right,
home.
Right.
So, how long have you been a supporter of this project?
From its very beginning, because I think... I was part of the ombudsman that saved the Wilder Ranch and made it a state park, and also I was on the Lighthouse Point Association. I was against that convention center. I've been very deeply concerned over the years, regarding ecological things. I think that, number one, this is an improvement over the present Dream Inn. Number two, we need a conference center here. Number three, we need the additional revenue.
So you're speaking, right?
Yeah. And so that's the reason I do it. And I think, as in terms of parking, I think it will improve the neighborhood because we'll have a parking facility. It'll also improve access to the beach. And I think it's about time this community came together. We don't pit workers against the rest of us who live here and have nice homes and want to keep it just like it is. I think we need a viable economic structure, and I think this will help bring it.
Well, what's your sense about the opposition? I know that there might have been people who made similar arguments when you were opposing a development in the 70s, right?
Yeah, but that was on a totally different scale. I think this is very appropriate. It isn't a convention center. It's really a conference center. It's really a minimal thing. And I think it's an improvement on what we have now.
Now, how about those who claim that the $30 million invested by the city is it's a pretty risky deal? What's your sense?
No, I don't think it's any risk at all. But what I would like to see is that the city would have the developers pay for the tax decrease while they're building it. I think that would be appropriate. The other thing that I would like to have changed is that the city would control the conference center so that other hotels also might take the initiative in bringing conferences. I don't think we should turn the conference center over totally to the hotel. Those would be some improvements.
We've been speaking with
Herb Schmidt.
Thanks, Herb. But in order to be fair here, we're talking with
Jim Conklin with the Santa Cruz County Business Council.
Jim, are you representing yourself or the Business Council?
No, the Business Council.
And why does the Business Council support this project?
Well, the city came to us in early 2004 and said, we need your help because our revenues are falling way short of our expenses. And so we did an analysis at that time and supported the quarter cent sales tax that they passed in March. That's been passed, but it still hasn't solved the issue of expenses versus revenues. So we looked at this project and think it makes all kinds of sense in terms of helping to address that issue. It's certainly not going to solve the problem, but the expense side here is going up more than the revenue side. So we believe this is a project that makes sense, and especially with the analysis that's been done by outside folks.
Now, what about the proposed 4% TOT tax? I guess a similar tax was rejected that was a 2% tax a couple years back.
That might have been the same time. I think that was in 2000. I'm not
2002,
sure.
I think, but I'm not positive.
Okay, yeah.
What would make this tax more likely to be, I guess the city council will be voting it in, not the citizens, for one thing. But won't this eliminate a lot of potential disposable income for a fairly long period of time and dedicate it to this project, paying that back the debts on this project?
Well, if that's coming from the outside the community, though, I mean, those are people who are coming into this community to attend a conference, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's the same situation as if it was a local tax on local people who live here.
But it is a transient occupancy tax.
Yeah, it is. But most of those folks are going to be coming from the outside, just like, you know, they do in Monterey, et cetera. So
this tax money will eventually go to the hotel development.
You're just a nice guy.
And not to other projects,
right? Well, I guess that's true. But in the overall scheme of things, we just don't think that's a significant portion of this whole revenue imbalance.
We've been talking with
Jim Conklin, Santa Cruz County Business Council.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks very much.
So here we have a gray-haired antagonist. What's your name, sir?
I'm Larry Lay.
Larry, why do you oppose this?
First of all, it's only 50 feet from my house. And the impact is, I have blue sky now. I don't want to look at a damn parking structure.
Well, it's not going to matter anyway. Aren't you going to be moved out as they de-zone you with the rent control and so the lack of rent control? Aren't you history, you Clearview people? When are you going to leave anyway?
I'm going to leave through my cold, dead fingers crawling from my trailer.
There you have it. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we're going to shut up the guests here as I turn on the mics. And let me introduce the we have some people who've sort of drifted into the studio. Actually, they were very purposeful. They came here after spending some time over at the Homeless Service Center, and the studio with us is, maybe you should pull off the mic and kind of pass it around there, Bob. Just kind of pull it off so it can be passed. Make a lot of noise here so we can all sound professional. Again, we got Bob Patton. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Robert.
And we have Bella, who's not saying anything, but just passing the mic with an embarrassed look.
On the radio. Come on.
Say hi. Bernard's trying to make her. No, it's just stop that. Stop that, Bernard. And Bernard Klitzner. Bernard, you and Bob represent an organization that I've talked about before on the air, and you've been on the air before, but tell us what's cooking. You're with Human Rights?
Me and Bob Patton are with the Human Rights Organization. And also, we are also with Huff, and we were actually representing the two groups tonight in front of the Homeless Service Center.
And that was where did that all happen?
It happened at the new shelter on what's the name of that
street?
Probably
on Coral and
Coral,
River. Street.
Coral and River. We went into the new shelter,
right.
And there was kind of a new hall, and it had a bunch of seats, and we talked in front of the board.
How many people were there that you talked to?
In the board?
Uh-huh.
I would say about 12 people showed up on the board, would you say?
At least
12 people.
Uh-huh.
And there were also a couple of workers that were also there that worked for the board. And what else would you like to know, Robert?
Well, I mean, what was your purpose in going to the board? I mean, I briefly mentioned that you were something about the sleeping ban. Are you're trying to persuade them to do something around the law that makes it illegal to sleep at night?
Well, our purpose was to ask them to get behind, one, the lawsuit, and two, maybe communicate to the city in some way that tells them that the sleeping ban, needs to go.
Did you do that?
Well, I think that we did make some progress tonight. It appears that we did. They are going to make a next.
Wait. How did it begin? Let's be a little dramatic about this. We can kind of have a little.
Well, I did an opening statement. Uh-huh. I told the group that we brought an attorney. We brought representatives.
An attorney? You brought perhaps
Kate
John
Wells.
Barrasone? The city?
No, not John.
Okay.
Poor
Wells.
John. Uh-huh. No, we brought Kate, and we brought our attorney. We also brought a Becky Johnson, from Huff, and we also brought a Bob Patton from the Human Rights Organization, and I started it off. I started off the meeting by telling the board that I didn't want to hear any more of this bullshit that we've heard about 10 years, why they can't do anything about the
sleeping
ban.
Did you use the word bullshit before the board?
No, I didn't use the word bullshit, but I did.
Did you say bullpucky?
I did use very strong language, that we wanted to hear something refreshing and something viable.
And you have a tape recording of that, right? Bob is nodding his head, yes. Nobody can hear you over there, Bob, because your mic is over there. And
I'm going to let Bob say a few words.
Yeah, Bernard, in his opening statement, I feel really opened it up right. He laid down the challenge by being direct and expecting them to do something about it.
What can the Homeless Service Center do? I mean, they're a board of, all they control are the policies of the Homeless Service Center. What were you looking for from them? They can't change the sleeping ban, right? What was your objective? As if I didn't know.
As I'm reviewing our flyer that we handed out, two of the biggest requests we were making to them tonight, after informing them of the upcoming lawsuit that Kate Wells did give them in fairly good detail what was going to be happening and what information she did have. And in that group of people that were there, there were quite a few people who had been involved with both city government and at least social services for many years. Former city council member there also.
Don Lane?
Don Lane was there, and also Byers, both of who spoke quite eloquently in favor of becoming more involved in challenging or standing against the anti-homeless laws.
Really?
To the point to where they're going to write or make up a, I'm reluctant to call it a statement, but they're going to be putting something together that will address some of the issues that we were...
Be still my heart. This is the same woman, Catherine Byers, who destroyed the movement to end the sleeping ban when she had the key vote
on
the city council.
And I do think all of us, at least when Becky and I were sitting side by side, both our eyes popped open and we were looking at each other back and forth like, really?
Well, my concern is if they take over the process of writing this, what they'll do is they'll come up with some milquetoast, sort of warmed over piss that is not going to, you know, essentially mean anything. I don't know. Unless Byers has changed her position, it's, you know, it simply seems that she and Lane may be maneuvering to put this into a safe track. But again, I don't know for sure.
I didn't get that feeling, although there will be time to follow up on it, and I'm sure we'll be able to tell what direction that they are indeed going to be taking. But at least they're in front of us after our presentation and after Kate's presentation.
How long did you take to present?
It was over 20 minutes.
How long did they take?
They maybe another 10 minutes. So there was a reasonable discussion and back and forth between them after we gave our presentation. And the take is, I think it was turned out better than I expected. Kate Wells and others, Becky also expressed it turned out better than any of us expected. And I feel that we really are going to see some additional contact or work with them. We also told them what we were interested in doing and helping them, i.e. individual clients that are having situational problems with being arrested, having to go through the court.
On the sleeping ban.
On the sleeping ban or the camping ban or the blanket ban. We do have some resources to be able, and time. Individuals have time to help walk them through the system. I mean, ideally, we're going to encourage them to fight it, to become part of and involved in the court cases that are going to be coming up, but also to get them, get the individuals that have had the arrests or the problems with the police to be able to get to community service or other ways of dealing with their particular problem. Once again, I just say that it seemed like a positive thing at this time, and everybody has agreed on following through.
Bernard, had you had any previous experience talking with any of these people before, either in different contexts? I mean, did you talk to them at other times?
Well, obviously, you know, in the older days, we had contact with Catherine Byers. But recently, other than having some contact with Ken Cole over the administration of the sending of the letters, I would say no.
The sending of the letters, that was the situation where Cole would not give you the addresses or emails of the board of directors, but did agree to, after five separate context of not getting back to you, according to your understanding, finally took the letters from you somewhat curtly and sent them off, right?
That is true.
How did he perform at this meeting? What did he, how did he
perform? Well, you know, I think he regurgitated himself by giving some kind of basis for going over, yeah, you know, the court
regurgated
case.
Regurgitated himself? What do you
well,
mean?
Well, he's always
he
said that he's...
threw up all over himself, because that's what regurgitated means.
I think there were just old worn words coming from him about, you know, that he thinks it's a really good idea, you know, about the court case. You know, however, I'm not feeling, you know, some concrete vibrations coming from him about really getting directly involved in that. Now, that's my hit. I came away just a slightly more negative than the majority opinion, you know, in this group.
Well, you're dealing with Mr. Negative himself here, I'll tell you. So I can help to be even more negative about
Well,
this.
You weren't there.
That's true.
And
that helps me to be even more
the majority negative. Opinion at from our group is that we have taken them much further than we thought we would.
Well, I notice in your flyer, a fine flyer, I might add, states, ask the board, this is a flyer you put out to homeless people, ask the board of the Homeless Service Center to support this lawsuit and challenge the anti-homeless law. Did they agree to support the lawsuit? And if so, what kind of support are they going to give you? or us, I should say. Actually, this is the Human Rights Organization, but I guess both of us are, both organizations, Huff and Human Rights Organization, are doing the lawsuit or supporting it.
Well, we won't know exactly what kind of support we're going to get until their next board meeting, which would be sometime in February. However, it's my understanding that Catherine Byers is really behind this lawsuit.
And what leads you to say that?
She talked very refreshingly about it, very strong language, you know. She thought that was the only way, you know, that the city, you know, that the city's sleeping ban position could be overthrown.
Now, we have a tape of all this, and it was a public meeting, so I'm going to take the liberty of asking you if you mind if I play that tape.
At this time?
Well, we can play it. You think it's useful to play it now? I'd be happy to play it.
Well, after maybe we go.
Oh, yeah. No, after you leave. But, I mean, unless you want to play it and then comment on some of their comments. No.
I don't think we have time for that right now.
Yeah, well, okay. But, you know, we can, Bob is, well, if somebody wants to stay and do that while I play the tape, that's fine. I'd be happy to do that.
Well, we all came in one car.
I would be happy to, you know, carry you on my back or whoever doesn't have, I think Valerie here has a car, too, so we.
Well, you're welcome to stay if you want, Bob.
Yeah, but then there are other protests going on downtown. Rumor has it there's some opposition to the new president, Fuhrer Bush.
Really?
The new Fuhrer, President Bush. I'm not sure exactly
how.
Well, that's just a rumor. I don't know. You know,
what is Santa Cruz doing?
I've heard there's a gathering of malcontents at the town clock. You know, I'm, of course, cynic that I am. I remember the days when the malcontents gathered for a few hours, waved their banners, and then evaporated into the night for another 2 months, but until the next demonstration. But Bob here is looking to say something about that, so maybe I should ask him what he thinks.
Actually, I wanted to back up again to the Catherine Byers and interest of particularly Ken Cole. Both Ken Cole and Catherine Byers.
Catherine Byers is a former mayor.
Former mayor.
Santa Cruz, mayor, actually.
Former city council person.
And Ken Cole, of course, was both the vice chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force, and then he was, before that he came down from Seattle to be executive director of the Homeless Service Center for the last 5 years.
And I did mention that the problem with working with the city council, which they did bring up several times, saying that that would be the body that we should work with, that including the homeless task force recommendations were ignored. Everybody shook their head to that. And everybody understands what we're going through there, going through trying to get through the city council to change any of these anti-homeless laws. And both Ken Cole and Catherine Byers said they thought and they hoped and they've always thought that the lawsuit was the best way to go, was the only way to get things changed. And they both were agreeing on the changes that we want to see, too. To the point to where Kate Wells, when she was talking, after Ken Cole had said that he had witnessed as a professional knowledgeable witness in another state, I think it was Montana or Wyoming,
Washington?
Need.
That's where he comes from, Washington State.
Wherever it was, he testified. It was for the need of more housing and the lack of any place for homeless people to be. And at that time, Kate Wells said, well, you'll probably be another witness again, referring to the case that's coming up, and everybody kind of chuckled about that. But those two persons that were there in particular, Ken Coles and Catherine Byers, both showed a lot of interest, including Catherine, saying, personally contact her, and she'll get involved. So those are things
were
that came
up. Were there large donations of money to the cause at this meeting?
That wasn't an issue. Even
wasn't
we didn't intend to do that to get their to get the positive response we did from it. And it was a well-run meeting. Mm-hmm. Often, sometimes I feel there's too many meetings and too many people going to them that don't need to. But this turned out to be a rather productive meeting, but also we had invited some of the clients, former clients, and people that were street people who are not involved in the homeless service center to come there and speak, although only a couple did. That was due to the fact that they were trying to hold the time down for them to go ahead and continue doing their needed work. Now, to the anti-war stuff, we haven't been by there, so I don't exactly know what all is going on down there.
Were there any homeless people at this meeting?
That's what I just referred to.
How many homeless people actually showed up with you?
I'd say there was at least 3 to 5 other people.
Wow.
Only of which 2 spoke, and they tried to cut the speaking down.
Who did? The board? Or
right. They had already
said... You don't want homeless people to actually talk at a homeless board meeting.
Well, they had already said that they were going to have to limit it, and actually they did extend it longer than they had originally said that we could speak. And I thought they were quite courteous to the people that did speak and let them get their 2 bits in.
Their 2 minutes, so to speak.
You know, I take slightly, a different position, than my comrade here. Well, no, I don't think we have to
fight about it. It's interesting.
We
got this whole thing reversed. We should have played the tape first and then had you guys do all the commentary so people could know what we're talking about. But you're in the studio with us, Bernard Klitzner. Well, talking are the men, as usual, Klitzner, Norris, and Bob Patton. And then silent are Bella and Valerie, Valerie Christie. And what's your last name, Bella? she's backing off. How do you want to be described? Doesn't want to be described. So a silent witness to the whole situation. FBI, take note.
Well, what I would say that I have a difficult time, to some degree, like only giving 45 minutes to a pressing problem as the sleeping ban. I would have liked to have heard more fresh insight coming from the board. I really did let them know in the end.
They did get the documentation previously, right? You actually sent them this letter more than 2 weeks ago.
That is true, but they... I don't know how many of them read it in advance.
Did you get... You said that Catherine Byers and Ken Cole spoke. Who else was at the meeting that you might have known or recognized or heard the names of who had any participation in the conversation that might interest you?
At the board level?
Yeah.
Well, I remember there was one young guy there that seemed, toward our end in the circle by Catherine Byers.
They introduced themselves on his tape.
Okay, so we can actually hear the tape.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the sleeping ban, the law to that criminalizes sleeping, and the challenge to the sleeping ban, which isn't in the courts yet, but which is... has been funded and is now in the process of being prepared by Attorney Kate Wells, who was also at this meeting. Was there any objections posed or any opposition posed to explicit opposition saying, we don't want no involvement with this?
No. Would you say that's accurate?
No.
There
was a
little
bit of hesitation, but that's to be...
Didn't seem to be. There was a little bit of hesitation, particularly in Ken Cole's initial responses, and I think that's just to guard their non-political asses in case of things or whatever, just to give themselves a little bit of a cushion. But overall, I think we were well attended to.
Were you? There are other things on the board. But was there an agenda that also mentioned other items that you were allowed to look at?
We didn't see the agenda. We were first on their agenda after some introduction of new staff members.
And you weren't? Were you told? Were you allowed? Would the meeting then continued as a public meeting after you finished your presentation?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. We gotta go. And it looks like that is that's it for the report from the Homeless Service Center. But I do have the key tape here, which I shall now play, hoping it doesn't put us all to sleep or enrage us.
Can you wait a few minutes till we get out to our car so we can hear it?
Sure, although you already heard it once before, if I'm not mistaken.
Take time to absorb.
Okay, so we're going to pause briefly so the perpetrators here can get to the music. And if you have any reports to call in from the demonstration, please do so. If anybody out there is at the demonstration with a cell phone and a radio on listening to free radio, please call 427-3772. Give us a report so we can pass on to the greater community. And, get down to the town. I assume it's still happening at the town clock. I don't know. It was an hour ago. Maybe it still is. That's kind of a stretch. McGovern is probably talking in front of the vets hall, or is he in the vets hall? I'm not sure which. Probably inside.
Who's talking?
George McGovern, the 1972 congressional, or I should say presidential candidate. Out now, McGovern. So give us a call, 427-3772, if you want to let us know how things are going down there. And get down there if you got some time in your hands. You know, maybe we could turn this into a 24-hour vigil. It goes on and on until the war ends, and who knows? Bernard, you can take over. Maybe you can become the new homeless czar. You never can tell. Actually, that's more of a joke. We need, of course, a participatory kind of democracy here. And if you want to, you have to participate. So help participate. Did you have something you wanted to say, Bob, before you take off?
Mark that tape somehow, because I'd like to get it back.
Okay, I will do that. Hey, thanks, Bella. All right. So let's. I want to make sure I don't roll the wrong part of this tape. So to be sure of that, I'm going.
It's rewound to the side that it should start on.
So it's ready.
Yeah, the other side's a bunch of pornos.
Okay, we'll avoid the porno at this time and go straight for the Homeless Service Center board meeting, which happened about an hour and a half ago. Let's hear that tape.
Anything you want to add?
No, I hope the whole thing will go away, but I'm afraid it won't.
Seems to be the wrong tape, but of course that's standard procedure here on my show. Let's try this tape. This might be the right tape.
Okay, January the 20th, well, 5:30, Homeless Service Center. It's a board meeting, and both Bernard and Kate Wells here. It looks like most of the members are beginning to come in.
Guests today, we'll definitely do our introductions. Let's start with Ken.
Hey, I'm Ken Cole. I'm Executive Director of the Homeless Services Center.
I'm Marcia Cannon.
Don Lane, board member.
Board member. And Secretary Pro Tem. Medicus Sack. Fran Guerrero, board member. Diane Lowe, chair. Can you hear?
Yes.
Are we doing okay?
Very good.
Craig Smith, board member.
I'm Lucas Willie. I'm Lucas Willie, a board member.
Well, I'm Brandon O'Brien, and I'm also a board member.
Wow. And we have you on the agenda. Meeting and discussion, yes.
Yeah. Could I do one introduction before?
Certainly.
You go?
Certainly.
It's our tradition at Homeless Services Center to introduce new staff. And we usually do this right at the beginning of a meeting just so that they can say hello and meet the board and then get to go home to their family. So it's my pleasure to introduce Nancy Lou Piscotti. Nancy Lou is our new case manager in the Page Smith Community House Transitional Housing Program. She has a wonderful background in social services, and she's already taken on a full caseload, and she's jumped right into the community atmosphere back there, and looks like she's fits right in, so that tells you something right away. But I would like to invite her to say a few things about herself, anything you'd like to share with the board about your organization. You must have had some of those who wouldn't be here, so.
I had a friend who worked here several years ago, and I was going to visit him when I was in case management for another team. And we just had a good community feeling here. He was just about 5 years ago. So when the job opened up, I just jumped at it. And, I'm feeling very welcome. The population is warm.
Well, first of all, it's kind of hard to hear these folks, and secondly, it's not relevant to the sleeping ban lawsuit debate. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give us a welcome musical interlude. If I can find the appropriate musical tape, it's always a a problem. I tend to lose track of these tapes. I think this is the right one. And then we'll get back to today's sleeping ban lawsuit and the discussion at the Homeless Service Center about it.
Was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down, always to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. You law-abiding citizens, listen to this song. Laws were made by people, and people can be wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote, and children worked the mine. The more you study history, the less you can deny it. A rotten law stays on the books till folks with guts defy it. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. Now the law's supposed to serve us, and so are the police. When that system fails, it's up to us to speak our peace. It takes eternal vigilance for justice to prevail. So get courage from your convictions. Let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Will you go to jail for justice? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine.
And now it's back to that thrill-packed Homeless Service Center meeting we were listening to before. I think we've actually reached the substance part of the meeting, and we'll see if we can make it audible. Here we go.
All right. We have guests this evening, and I know there are a couple of people that would like to speak, and I'd like to just advise everybody that we do try to be out of here by around 6:30 at home for dinner, and so we want to keep it down, if we can keep your presentation down to something like 10 minutes. And if we need to go further another time, so be it. Okay? Because we do have a full... Yes?
Diane, could I ask one, as staff, understanding kind of what the board has to try and decide to do, it would be helpful. I mean, I'm sure people want to restate the problem, which you're welcome to do, but if you have anything in mind that you're asking this group to do about the problem, it's particularly helpful to know what you're interested in this organization, which is represented by the board, and doing. They certainly are, you know, understand a little bit about the problem.
Question.
I sent the board a letter, each one of you, you know, addressing concretely, very clearly, you know, what kind of bold, you know, action, you know, we want from you, or leaning toward that resolution. So I hope everybody here read those letters.
Okay, I read the letter, but I thought it was addressed to the city
And there was an agenda behind that letter.
Okay.
With an attached.
I'm not sure I saw that, but I did read the letter. I thought it was very well written. I don't know if you wrote it or not, but it was very succinct.
Before we go on, I'm going to introduce Captain Byers, also a board member. Some of you know Captain. Yes, comment.
I'd like to help cut through red tape by just filtering everything down to one word.
I believe we have a person who would like to speak. Am I correct?
I'm
sorry, I don't know your name.
My name is D. Roger Sedler. I am the Vice President of the United Veterans Council. I am a member of the Board of Trustees of the American Legion. I'm the Program Administrator and Operations Manager of the Locker Program for financially challenged veterans at the Vet Lockers we all here, which is for eligible veterans. And I'm a Democratic candidate for governor. At any rate, succinctly, I just want to cut through as much of their tape as possible. People are dying out there. One of them, his name was Robert Raymond Wagner. He was a U.S. Navy veteran. Even if he wasn't a veteran, I would care, but since he had on the state desk of the Veterans Council.
May I interrupt you, sir? I really would like to follow through on what our executive director asked, is that we first know what you're asking for. I did not receive
the letter. Okay.
I don't know. And then if you'll have some input after that.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Okay.
So I kind of know where we're
then,
going.
My understanding is, I just want to add my voice to what I believe these people are asking for. They're asking that you would pass a resolution asking the city council to change its mind and allow people to put a blanket on when it's cold and have a legal place to sleep so that they're just not harassed to death at summer time. And so I want to say I endorse their idea that because they're just locking ranks and saying, no, we're not going to do that. And that the more organizations, and I'm also a member of Veterans for Peace, by the way, our organizations are doing this very same thing that we're asking you to do, which is send a resolution to the make the resolution and send a copy to the city council stating, we support the idea of ending the sleeping jam, we support the idea of ending the blanket jam. And that's what we're asking you to do. And I believe that's what they're asking, and I'm endorsing it. I probably don't have a lot. Excuse me if I did. And the one word that I would say all comes down to is help. People need help. That resolution would be helpful. That's my message.
The gentleman in the turquoise, remind me of your name, please.
Mike?
Bernard.
You're the one that sent the letter. Are you representing?
I'm representing two groups.
All right.
Human Rights Organization and Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And he was right. We want an end to the sleeping ban, number one. And number two, we have a federal lawsuit, that will be going against the city of Santa Cruz, you know, unless they start owning up, you know, to the sleeping ban. And we brought Attorney Kate Wolf here to speak about that tonight, to answer any questions you may have. And there's other expert people here, you know, that can also talk on the sleeping ban that we brought, like Becky Johnson.
Yes, I'm appearing on behalf of COP.
Good. We also have a couple of letters that I would like to read for some homeless people in the community that were not able, you know, to come here tonight. But most of all, what I don't want to hear from this board is, you know, excuses that I've heard for over 10 years why we can't do anything about the sleeping ban. We want positive conversation coming from this board. I don't want to hear the same old negatives that I always have to hear. I want you guys to be advocates for the homeless constituency out there that is freezing.
Further discussion?
If I may, my name is Bob Patton, and I'm also part of the Human Rights Organization. I've had talked to some of the staff people here, in particular, coming down and getting information and meeting with homeless people that have gotten tickets or gotten citations or have to go through the court system. We walk them through if they will go through it, how to go to the courts, how to pick the judge or disqualify a referee so they can get to a real judge, how to get into the community services, community where you do your, yes, community service system, which also costs them money just to even get in to take care of their tickets and stuff. I'd like to say I appreciate, and I know that your jobs in this community are very important and very difficult. I have a niece who in another city, under different laws and conditions, works in very similar situations you do, especially outreach to homeless single men. This is some of our, I just want to state that so I know what you're going through. I don't have enough of these for everybody, but you may have seen some of our literature around.
The board did get this last meeting.
If anybody did not take the review one of these, this is a pamphlet type piece that we've been putting out for about a year now. It's our statements around the project that we're trying to do, and that is to eliminate or have reviewed the sleeping and camping bans and the other what we consider anti-homeless laws that are on the books in Santa Cruz that makes it illegal for people and do no sleep, camp, cover, sit, and all kinds of stuff. I would like to read to you, I'm not sure, this is not the letter you sent them the last time, that's the board, that's when we sent the city council. So we have addressed the city council recently asking them to put on the agenda as soon as possible, and I'll just read the last paragraph because a lot of it is the same stuff that's in that particular flyer, and I'll just start the last few paragraphs. The current trend of this city council is one of criminalization of homelessness. We feel this unnecessarily punishes those in poverty. In these times of ever-widening economic inequality, the poor are not the only victims. Our sense of community and civil society is under attack. We look for you, and we're talking to the city council with this letter, for constructive approaches to this problem. We are asking you to place on the city council agenda as early as possible date for public comment, ideas on rewriting the camping and sleeping ban ordinances. And we would like to meet with members in revamping and repealing. This is the contact that we do have with the city council. They have received letters from us. Basically, what we feel here is violations of the Bill of Rights. Now, the Bill of Rights is the major law that if everybody doesn't accept that it is the law, then it doesn't work. And in this city, the laws, we feel, go against the Constitution. So this is why we have decided to bring out the big guns and go for a federal case. In the city, in the state, we're not getting anything from the courts, nor is any other city or any state. Most cities will go for a settlement out of court in millions and millions of dollars just to keep it out of the courts. So we know we're not going to get any satisfaction either locally or state. So we're heading for a federal challenge. And at that, I would like Kate to introduce some of the parameters around that suit.
I hate to be standing with people behind me here, so I'm going to move over here.
Speak to everyone. Hi. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Kate Wells. I'm a civil rights attorney and have been practicing law in Santa Cruz for the past 25 years. I've lived in Santa Cruz for 35 years. And, personally, I have to say that I'm pretty embarrassed that this city that I moved to 35 years ago, for its tolerance and its wondrous ability to digest and welcome every kind of person, has the most draconian laws, anti-homeless laws, in the state, and maybe even in the nation. Even the Santa Ana ordinance that was challenged in the Tobe decision which has become pretty famous. It made it all the way to the California Supreme Court. That dealt with the Santa Ana sleeping ban, actually camping ban. The Santa Ana ordinance does not even mention sleeping. Whereas our ordinance, of course, says, thou shalt not camp, and then it says camping is A, sleeping, B, covering yourself with a blanket. You know, it's really an outrage. I have to tell you, this will not be the first time I've challenged the law. I challenged it in state court. The political climate was such at the time that basically after my impassioned plea at the after I gave this great, I thought, great closing in Judge Kelly's court, Judge Kelly's response to me was, well, they can sleep during the day. So, you know, it was pretty shocking. I think what we have to do is get out of the county in order to really mount a realistic challenge to these laws. It is our goal at this point just to do a facial challenge, which means just that it's unconstitutional on its face, and not do the as-applied challenge, which will be a lot more expensive if we have to do that at some point. It depends on what kind of donations we get, and if we get enough donations, then we'll do an as-applied challenge as well. You know, I like to think that I'm a political realist, and I understand the bind that all of you are in. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. And that's kind of the political situation we got here, and I understand that. What I'm asking you to do is as much as you can do. You know, take yourself to the very edge of what you feel you can do without, you know, totally alienating the hand that feeds, obviously. And, you know, what that would be, I don't know. You guys know better than I. We're going to be looking for funding. We have a nonprofit that's going to be funding this. I am doing it pro bono. The funding is just for the costs of the case. So, you know, that's where we are. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Well, Kate, are you going to be you know, like kind of rough out a complaint so that they can see what it's like with the legal research behind it and
sure.
then present it before you file it and say, why don't we get proactive instead of defensive?
Absolutely. I've already mounted a challenge, a facial challenge. So I've got a lot of it roughed out already.
In the letter?
In court documents that I have filed in the past. So I can do that, and I will try to get that done. I'm leaving on vacation, so I will be gone for a little over 2 weeks starting beginning of February. but I'll try to get something roughed out into you before I leave so that you have an idea of what the...
I'm not a political animal, and a lot of people on this board are, but it just seems to me that it shouldn't come to us. It seems to me that it should be roughed out and go... to the city council so they can say, do we want to invest, you know, umpteen million dollars in legal fees, or do we want to look at this realistically?
Well,
who will get wealthy as a result of it, the city attorney.
I'll tell you right now that we have done that in the past and had no response. And that's where you guys come in, you know, because you carry great weight with the city council, and I think that your endorsement... as far as you can go, would be invaluable to us in mounting this challenge. And you know, obviously, I would rather avoid. I mean, I've got plenty of work. I don't need to take on more work, Sal. You know. So you know, it's not that I'm hot to bring this action. I am just, you know, appalled every day that passes. With this law on the books, you know, I don't know what's going to be happening in federal court now that we have an attorney general who thinks a little torture is okay, as long as we're the torturer and not the torturee. But still, you know, we still have a few federal judges out there who, you know, basically could care less about the local politics in Santa Cruz. That's, you know, that's why we need to go to federal court. It's just too big a hot potato for any of the local judiciary. So you know, that's why the federal challenge.
Okay.
significantly.
But I will be happy to provide you with a rough draft of the complaint. If I thought that's what you were asking, is whether or not you could have a rough draft. But as far as the city council, sure, we will definitely provide them with a copy ahead of time. Their reaction to the past, of course, has always been, you know, go ahead, so sue me, you know, attitude. So, okay, thank you.
I'd like to say a few words on behalf of Humboldt United for Friendship and Freedom. I wanted to, you know, support all the previous speakers and what they said. This criminalization of...
Becky, yes, everybody get your name.
I'm Becky Johnson.
I'm not sure everybody knows it.
Yeah. Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. We're an 11-year-old advocacy organization for homeless people, composed of volunteers, and we advocate for the civil rights of homeless people. Okay, sure. Criminalization that we have of homelessness is a huge drain on our public safety funds. And the National Coalition on Homelessness has documented that a citation issued for these quality of life crimes, such as sleeping or covering up with blankets too warm, costs the city and the county and public expense about $1,000 per citation. We can amply prove that taking those same funds and earmarking them to putting people into some sort of housing, food, supportive services for employment, mental health services, the whole ball of wax that people need to get out of homelessness and to become functional again, those dollars would be more effectively spent on the people rather than on the criminalization. So it would be infinitely reasonable public policy for the city of Santa Cruz to say we are no longer going to cite people for sleeping or covering up with blankets. Or it's a humane thing to do, but it's also reasonable public policy to do that. What we would like to do instead would be to implement the Pottinger guidelines that were sketched out in the state of Florida after the Pottinger decision, where basically a court decision forced the counties in Florida to suspend enforcement under these quality of life ordinances in a case where there's not enough shelter, like we have here, like we have in every city in the United States today. Not enough shelter for the homeless population at large. And so under the Pottinger guidelines, where they suspended that and sort of forced communities by law, they had to either stop ticketing or provide the services needed. And there was no huge influx of homeless people migrating to Florida, even from New York, where you would imagine it gets cold up there. There are a lot of people up there. Wouldn't they flood Florida to see that? It didn't happen. So some of the concerns are overblown, and we would be happy to provide you any documentation to substantiate that if you're ever challenged on that. And the last point I want to make is that the Homeless Services Center, your mission statement that is connected to your 503c status, and it does include advocacy. You have agreed to be advocates for homeless people as well as service providers. And under that, you have full authority to act and make passing some sort of resolution saying that, you know, we support implementing these Pottinger guidelines instead of criminalizing people for sleeping or covering up with blankets.
Thank
you. Can we get a list of what the guidelines are? Can you get the guidelines?
Yes.
Can you get how it breaks out that it's $1,000? That's very powerful.
Yes.
I can provide you with this, or I can email you links to those studies.
Sure.
We have a time factor. Before you came in, I did ask that we try to keep this down. We're already beyond the point at which we had expected to go at this point, and we can't actually take a vote on anything specific.
No, we weren't expecting that.
And we have a great many things to cover this evening. We have, as you probably know, a dedication ceremony in about, 8-9 days? We've got to get through
good
that
for
this very building. I'm going to ask for the discussion come to the board now. If there's any input here, what is your pleasure at this point?
Can I say one thing? And as somebody that's kind of worked both sides of the fence for a long time, I would just point out, I would kind of respond a little bit to what Bernard said earlier and, as a challenge to this organization. But, you folks are the advocates. You know, Becky stated the mission of HUB as an advocacy organization. The bind here with the Homeless Services Center is it's a service organization. I don't have the mission statement memorized, but Becky, you might be thinking of an older version of the Citizens Committee's mission statement. But not quarreling words, the heart of the mission statement for the Homeless Services Center is services. And the heart of your organization is advocacy. And I really applaud you as advocates. And I've always hoped that, from a personal level, that this tension around the camping ordinances would go to the courts. Because in my worldview, that's what the courts are for, to resolve these kinds of value conflicts. But I really want to emphasize that this is a service organization, and the clout of this group of people to get things done like this building and all the improvements over there and the improvements in the future is a mission of service, and where we tend to go is education. Kind of that middle ground between advocacy and service, I think, is education. Well, I think that we, for example, I don't mean to belabor the discussion, but I want to point out that as an organization, we have never blanched at educating the public through the media. If the media shows up here and they're chasing the camping ordinance story, we always say there's not enough shelter, people are caught in a double bind, and I'm speaking as the spokesperson for the organization. I've been in front of the city council, I've been at committee meetings and pointed out, I've written letters. In the past, I've testified as an expert witness in a Supreme Court case in Montana over homeless rights, saying the very fact that there's not enough shelter, Judge. What do you expect these people to do?
And you will be again.
Okay. Well, that's where we are. I gotta say, that's where we are. And what I feel you want, and like good advocates, you're doing your advocate thing on this group of people, but I just feel like it really should be focused on the city council. So, anyway.
Well, that's why I said what you can do within the parameters of
yeah, how far you can go.
Of political realism here, how far you can go is up to you, but we'd ask that you go vet it.
Yeah, we all remember the Homeless Issues Task Force and what little effect it made after all its hard and diligent work. So that's what we run into as a city council. It doesn't mean we don't want to keep in contact everybody and anybody who can make a difference. And if we can help in any way with either individual clients or with issues, please get in touch with us.
I would like to point out you can pass a resolution against the sleeping ban and criminalization as effective public policy and forward that as an FYI to the city council, if that's your position. And you can do nothing, which would, in essence, support the lawsuit, because we'll just proceed with the lawsuit.
Real quick, I mean, with all of you, my staff record and all this, and down. And I certainly, what I think you came here said with the case that it's not going to go anywhere with the city council, and it hasn't, and it's not going to, and I really thought that you would make the leap. And I think, as Ken said, as individuals, and if anyone wants to call me later, I will. So I've always thought the only way this is going to get sorted out is through the courts. You know, I've just always felt that for many, many years, and I would like for the individual to support you on that. Maybe we'll talk about how to have a vote, but just so somebody call me about that later. As an individual. Thanks.
No.
You know, I think maybe it's what I'd like to suggest, and I'm willing to take some of it on myself, is that, you know, at the in the next agenda, I'd like to suggest that we do say something. And I don't think we need to be, you know, specific to, you know, this lawsuit or anything like that. But I think, you know, even though Ken and I, you know, I think Ken is absolutely right. Our main, you know, we have to really keep our eye on the ball, and we are a service provider. We're kind of the only game in town for a lot of the services, and we can't threaten that. But I think, you know, it is true that we have a role. And it's no other way of putting it than this, that we have clients and we are interested in their needs. And if their needs include, you know, us speaking up about their rights, then I think that's appropriate. And, you know, I think I would just, even personally, I would not make some very specific statement, but I think it would be something, it would be appropriate for us to have some sort of policy or some kind of statement that moves in that direction. And I'm offering to try and draft something that can be sent around everyone, and we can have just a focused discussion. And I think it's equally that if any other board member wanted to do that, they should, you know, write something down and send it out to the board as well.
Any further discussion?
I'd just like to offer from a staff perspective that we have many stories, firsthand stories of clients who have had, you know, been ticketed. I mentioned one at the last meeting about someone, you know, lying on unzipped sleeping bag, reading a book in a park, and got ticketed for it. And that's a substantial, you know, penalty to that individual. And we could provide some of that information, anecdotal information. And then the other part that I think staff can provide is, again, the picture that there simply is not, you know, it is not exaggeration to say that the major provider of emergency shelter are the green belts. Because if you actually could count where everybody is on a given night, there's more people camping out or sleeping in cars or than in a real shelter. So again, I'm not into telling the council what to do, but I certainly think I'm sure that. If we have information, we certainly can share. If anybody's interested in hearing from our perspective what we're hearing, I'd be a little more generous for that information.
Thank you. Can you make a very brief comment? We really have a very large agenda.
My name is Dale Quarren, and I'm a marginally borderline homeless person. I spent quite a bit of time putting more motorhomes and a vehicle in the past. I felt largely targeted by the law enforcement, parking enforcement a lot of times. Especially when I had a $400 job that I was driving around, and it was like I had a sign on me that in fact, I've got a couple things pending in the courts, ridiculous technicalities, citations that could have just as easily been and much more appropriately dealt with than just a warning, a verbal warning. Carol Hoffman made a roadmap for unsafe back in the highway. He said I backed up too far. Not only the parking, causing a blue zone on the
Hard to hear.
And then today,
who's talking about concerns there?
Applicated to the homeless from the Georgia Hawk. And this lady, patrol officer, came up to me, and she was literally trying to light me up for having my, I had a son on the stereo. As I'm repeating all the numbers, it's really appropriate to some of the message coming from pertaining to the very issue of homelessness.
This is really, I apologize for the difficulty of hearing this.
But anyway, she was trying to
and
there
was, Hale is a, an activist with, who's been working with her, as well as a person who's been victimized by the police and has actually been to the court system recently. I'm kind of taking this opportunity to talk over him because I don't think I can hear this. I'll give it a little more try, but I think we're going to turn to something else. We may have a report from the court system. I think we have John Keelkin here to tell us what's going to happen. I think we're going to pause the Health Service Center board meeting and take a live report from John. Hey, John, what's the story?
Well, I just got back from the Inaugurate the People protest.
Is it over? Is it broken up? Or?
It's pretty much over with. At the very end, George McGovern got up there and gave a little speech, so it was pretty good.
And how many people showed up?
It was about 300 people there.
Did they demand the city council pass a resolution immediately to urge immediate withdrawal from Iraq?
I didn't hear that mentioned.
Mayor Rotkin stand up and attempt to shut down recruiting stations in Santa Cruz and surrounding territory?
I didn't see any city council members there, actually.
No city council members.
I saw former city council member Celia Scott was there.
How about former mayor Scott Kennedy?
No.
Wait a minute. You mean Resource Center for Nonviolence Activist Kennedy was not present?
Not that I could see.
I see. Well, it could be. I'm not sure whether he's even in town, but it seems like the kind of thing he would show up at. Any other famous personalities? Perhaps Marini's Candies, Republican Party statespeople?
No, I don't know. They had the Statue of Liberty there. They actually had a real live torch on the Statue of Liberty.
Did they have a permit for that torch?
I don't know. But they had the, you know, the battery operated flashlight part of the torch, which was, you know, like the realistic make believe flame that kind of was lit up with a flashlight. But then they had right next to that they had a kind of a I don't know, like a little stick of incense or something that was burning.
A lot of signs.
Yeah, there was a few signs there.
And who say McGovern spoke? What did he say other than did he? I take it there was a.
Well, he was saying he was comparing the war in Iraq to the war in Vietnam, saying that basically in the war in Vietnam the U.S. wanted to stay in there because they thought that there would be a bloodbath, a civil war in Vietnam if they pulled out. And basically what happens was they pulled out and immediately there was peace. There was no bloodbath. And there was also no... Excuse me. There was no domino effect on surrounding countries either.
Well, there were those who, some will say that Cambodia or Kampuchea became a killing field.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Dead. I'm not familiar with that. But
Cambodia next door, Pol Pot. That doesn't ring a bell.
No, it rings a bell, but I'm not sure of the time period, whether it was before or after Vietnam.
That was a couple years after Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so that's what McGovern said. And were there any no Bush spokespeople were there to refute this commie dog?
No.
I see. Any other local speakers?
Well, there was Sherry Connable was up there. She was emceeing. Mm-hmm. And then we had a couple of musicians.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the names. I'm terrible with names.
Uh-huh. So, fair enough.
And we actually had, when I was handing out flyers for the Homeless Services Center event, I ran into one woman who, I don't remember her name, but she said she was living in a 26-foot motorhome and trying to dodge the neighbors and the police. And she said that she would be in favor of having an initiative, gather signatures for an initiative to repeal the sleeping ban.
Aha.
She said she might be able to organize something along those lines.
And did you direct her to a Huff meeting? Or?
Well, I told her the phone number was on the flyer. It's kind of hard to read because it's so small. But
indeed.
Maybe she'll call.
Who knows? Well, good work there. I think I'm going to postpone the reading of the rest of this tape, though. It is interesting tape. It's too bad that the microphone was not better placed. Any further report on the event?
on the
event at the
inaugurate
the
people.
Yes, inaugurate the people event.
We only had some good news coverage. They had Channel 8 there, and they had one other channel. It's kind of hard to identify what other channel that was.
Uh-huh. Any counter-protesters?
I don't know. We might have gotten a few cat calls from passing cars, but there wasn't really any counter-demonstration.
Was there much positive support from passing vehicles?
Yeah.
Did people take back the streets?
I wasn't there for the part where they marched down the street, whether they marched in the middle of the street or not. I really don't know. I had to go over to the Homeless Services Center between 5:30 and about 6:30.
I see. So the march in the street happened before you came.
Yeah, it happened before I came back.
Uh-huh. Well, John, thank you. Any other reports? I guess you have a human rights organization meeting coming up on Saturday, so that's at 4 o'clock at Sin Fronteras, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I don't know if this was mentioned earlier, but we got a personal endorsement of the sleeping ban lawsuit from Catherine Byers at the HR, at the Homeless Service Center meeting.
Right.
She spoke
right.
favorably of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can always, if you pass the buck to the courts, you can wait till they make changes. Until then, you know, maybe she's willing to do more. That's very nice.
They basically said that they wouldn't be able to vote on anything tonight. They would have to table it until the next meeting. And in the meantime, they'll talk amongst themselves to figure out what they want to do.
Well, I mean, I was of two minds as I heard that tape, and I didn't hear all of it. We heard some of it. We heard the part. Maybe you can tell us. We stopped the tape at the point where Hale was speaking, the homeless guy in the vehicle. Was there much after that that happened?
I think that's just about the end of it, right there.
Well, the impression I got was that, you know, I mean, it is. It seems like there are a number of people who would like to see the sleeping ban go away, even including. I had thought, including Catherine Byers, throughout her 8 years as a council member from 1990 to 1998. Was it 1990 to 1998? She was, gosh, I guess so. And then she ran. Well, I think she was off a certain number of years, but she was on the council for nearly a decade. And when she was mayor in 1998, there was a majority that wanted to end the sleeping ban or at least establish safe sleeping zones. And she ended up sabotaging both those efforts. She put one perhaps the charitable would say that she, in the first instance in 1998, right after the election of Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, and she then had a majority with those three who were elected to some extent on a platform to decriminalize sleeping as well as to stop the Beach South of Laurel plan and make other significant changes. There were people who were talking about, you know, dumping the city manager and the city attorney, having some real changes in how the whole public process happens here, so it really becomes a public process. She backed down on this. In fact, joined Rotkin and the minority on a number of issues, and those reforms never happened. Instead, she set up a commission to study the sleeping ban for 3 months. They came up with some interesting stuff, though what it ended up doing was sort of sidelining activism. And then they set up a thing called the Homeless Issues Task Force, which studied the issue for a year and came up with some more recommendations, which were soundly ignored. And then they came up with one recommendation after there was massive protests, several initiatives to end the sleeping ban. And they were circulated by David Silva and Becky Johnston and myself and others. They didn't get enough votes to get on the ballot, but they got close. And one of the problems was just insufficient organization. And because of that, when Byers was on the council, there was a measure that actually passed a first reading that was for safe sleeping zones. And Byers sabotaged that at 1 o'clock in the morning on the second reading. She refused to vote for it. She backed down. As a West Side resident, apparently she got too much pressure from other bigots on the West Side. And I say bigots because while there are people who can disagree on these issues, if you're going to keep the sleeping ban in place while criminalizing, having with no shelter at all for people outside, you are consigning people to a second-class citizenship in this country, particularly your own native local homeless people. So I don't, you know, I'm glad to hear that Byers, I'm sure, will be happy to support a lawsuit because that is something that doesn't involve any risks at the local level, and I suppose we should be happy.
Yeah, she doesn't have to worry about her constituents.
Right, exactly.
Biting her in the back
right.
later.
I mean, they may complain, but she may say, look, it's the courts, it's the Constitution, there's nothing we can do. But if she actually tries to institute legislation, it's different. But for me, it's not terribly different because the reality here is when she had the power, she backed down from using it. That's the truth in the matter. She knows it. I know it. The community knows it. And every homeless person who suffered outside and some who have, you know, whose friends have died also know it. So,
right.
You know, I mean, you know, there all, of course, there's also Hernandez, Rotkin, Matthews, and, you know, this, these clowns on the city council now who are in their way worse than buyers, but in another way, no different from her. So are you optimistic, John, after this meeting? What's your sense after this meeting? I'm obviously my usual cynical self, but what do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm optimistic. Kate Wells is calling it a victory. And she also said that you could call her at home tonight. She had to go home and get dinner. Wasn't able to show up here tonight.
Well, maybe I should give her a call right now to get the Wellsian point of view.
Yeah.
See if we can get the Wells on the phone. Let's see if we can do that. Let's see, we're ringing in here. Are we ringing? Yes, we're ringing.
Hey.
Is this Attorney Kate Wells?
It sure is.
Kate Wells, you're on the air on, I should say, not on the air. We would never do that. That would be illegal. You're on the Internet, but they may put you on the air, those questionable criminals. Here in the studio with me is John Teelking. We've just heard most of your eloquent presentation, actually all of it. I think all of it. It's at the Homeless Service Center Board of Directors.
Oh, good.
And we've heard John here. You says you characterized the... Catherine, who I call, I don't know whether she's birdseed buyers or bullshit buyers, but that's, she's the one who both sent the sleeping zones down to the, you know, down to the dark regions, and also...
Say this.
What, sorry?
I have a call coming in long distance, and I think it's happening.
Oh, you gotta go.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll talk to you about it another time.
Sorry.
Alrighty. So, there I was trying to talk with, can't get the attorney's point of view on this, but perhaps another time. Kate often comes on the air and is quite liberal and generous with her views. And I actually am going to be coming back on Sunday with a longer show, 3.5 hours, in which I have a long interview with Kate on a couple of interesting legal issues. And maybe we can get her to also comment on this sleeping ban situation. I'm actually somewhat more positive hearing this, not because I'm feeling any better about how this particular board is operating locally in terms of using the power it really has, but because they're willing to use some of their power to help the lawsuit, which, frankly, it's not a lawsuit that's going to get us this change, I don't think. It's going to be the lawsuit and political pressure and street activism if that happens. For people who want to support the lawsuit, you can give a call to HUF, 423-4833. Give your name and number. We're looking, of course, for financial contributions for the lawsuit because it's probably going to run over what we got. But we're also looking for people who want to work in educational forums, who want to help lobby on this issue, who do some research, gather some data, or just want to, you know, express their sympathy and solidarity. Again, 423-HUF is the number to call. And you can also come to a HUF meeting. Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meets every Wednesday at Baker's Square at 1107 Ocean. That's a restaurant, pie shop, actually, on Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. You know, I think we are going to be bounced out of time, but I think that there is a very serious prospect of Y Swami Y, the wise man from the East, coming in and if not at this particular session, speaking at the next edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Y Swami Y was he wasn't arrested at the last council meeting. I myself took a bust of a sort. I wasn't taken to jail, and I wasn't formally charged with anything, but I was grabbed by the arm and forced out of the chambers by a man with a blue uniform and a gun at the direction of the mayor. That was last night at the Civic Center. And I don't know if there's time to go into it all now, but perhaps I can begin. Maybe we can pull the Y Swami Y out of the closet. Can you open the door and see if Y Swami Y is out there? I think he's...
there he is.
All right, he's coming in. All right, well, Y Swami Y, we have you in the studio here. What happened at City Council the other night?
Well, first, I would like to say that it is a real pleasure to be here tonight, and I truly love the City Council, and I truly love Mayor Mike Rotkin, and I went there to express my support, my true and important support for his hotel project.
You went to support the hotel project?
Yes, I went to support the hotel project.
Well, yeah, there were people in support and there were people opposing the hotel project. I know that you told me that you weren't able to give your entire speech to the City Council. Is that right?
Yes, that is true. I did not have the time to give my entire speech, but I did bring it with me and I can read it now.
You can? Well, then I think that perhaps might be appropriate to do, particularly since, as I understand it, in the middle of this speech, Councilmember Fitzmaurice called you a racist and then let a walk out of the City Council. Is that true?
Well, yes, that is true, yes.
My, that's quite shocking. In fact, we actually have that on tape, and I'm going to play that. Well, in fact, you know, why don't you read your speech first?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity to speak to the community of Santa Cruz, because I was not given the entire opportunity to do that. But then again, you know, I'm sure the mayor had his reasons, and the city council members who left the chambers, and, well, they had their reasons too. But this is what I wanted to say about the Santa Cruz Hotel. It is a return to family values with a coast hotel project. I truly believe that 6-story parking lots will keep Santa Cruz strong and vibrant. I am an Y, Swami Y, as you know. I am a supporter of the powerful and of the prudent. I wish to truly commend the wise and powerful mayor, Dick Wilson, and his esteemed advisors and subordinates on the Santa Cruz City Council for this fine, speedy $30 million project. Please, 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 pass this project. Remember, former mayor, the very distinguished Scott Kennedy, and his faithful sidekick, Mark Premack, they may not have won the last election, but the Kennedy-Premack palatial estates must triumph, as indeed they will. A reminder that the voters of this community have much to learn. Now, there are those who are complaining about the number of, well, the costs of the room, the $350 per room. Some say that is too expensive, they say. No. This will cut out the riffraff. Yes, the riffraff will be cut off. Now, I want you to understand this. They say that it's not a good idea, but it is a very, very good idea. You see, visualize tourists flocking to fill the rooms. Flocking to fill the rooms, particularly in the winter season, to experience the Santa Cruz of the winter. Our unusual winter storms, the charming seasonal floods, the closed beach boardwalk, and of course our traditional beloved first night parade, mercifully free of those nasty political signs, songs, banners, and other distractions. Now, who is... just a moment. Hang on a moment, Wise. I have to interrupt your speech here because we're kind of... John's looking a little dubious about this. John, did you have a comment about this? No, I guess not. All right, go ahead. I mean, I go ahead. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, yes. I don't mean to take up all the radio time, and I know you are very limited, but this is very, very important. There are those who have foolishly decided to turn Santa Cruz back to the past. No. We must move forward into the future. Now, some have said that the great and powerful redevelopment agency has only released important financial information on December 10th. Too late for meaningful public comment. This is nonsense. How ridiculous. They claim that this is a rush job. We get to talk, and then they get to vote for it. That is a very simple process. That is the democratic process. Leave it up to Mayor Rotkin. Indeed, he is the mayor. I said the Mayor Wilson. That was a mistake. It is not Mayor Wilson. It is Mayor Rotkin. Now, that's the truth of the matter, you know. Now, can we not trust the wonderful Mayor Wilson, who has had years of experience with these matters? Why, only last year he saved us precious millions by eliminating the tiresome rent control provisions for those useless elders at the ANZA and those silly low-income Latinos at the Clearview Court mobile home parks. This year, this heroic financier has broken the back of our tax problem. Now, this is very important. Spend the money, build the hotel, and the parking structure, of course. And they will come. Trust Mayor Wilson. Now, there are those other people, you know. They say that a 4% transient occupancy, hard for me to pronounce, you know, transient occupancy tax will drive away tourists or possibly kill social service options. No, no, no. Only sectarian idiots who live in the 60s, as they say, will believe this foolishness. We must follow instead the forward-looking business-conscious wisdom of such solid citizens as Vice Mayor Matthews and, of course, the socialist wisdom of Mayor Mike Rotkin. And, you know, I have to tell you, Robert, that I wanted to consult my crystal ball to make sure that the prediction of Mayor Wilson and his consultants was accurate. I'm going to do that again right here on the air in plain view of everyone. And I'm going to do it now. Let me take a look into my... Yes, yes, it is clear. The revenue from Mayor Wilson's hotel will be, yes, exactly 290% exactly of current revenues. Just a moment, Swami. There is a phone call. Hang on. Hi there. You're on the air with John Robert and Y Swami Y.
Yes, I would like to talk to Robert when he's ready to go.
Oh, okay. You got nothing for the air live, I suppose. Okay, are you...
Pardon me?
So you have nothing for the air, particularly?
Yes, I do.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Is this Robert?
Yes.
Oh, it didn't sound like it.
Oh, no, no, this is Robert. There, I mean, we also have some other personages in the studio as well, but go ahead.
I wanted to do the Why Swami Why question.
Oh, you want to talk to Y Swami Y?
Yes.
Well, he's also here.
And the question is for the Swami.
Yes.
Why would a politician try to discredit the reputation of a citizen protesting policies that favor people of privilege? Why, Swami, why?
Well, did you hear that, Y Swami Y?
Yes, yes, I did. I really did hear that. Yes. Oh, I guess yes. He's
hung up, but you can answer that question.
Well, you know, I don't like to think of it that way. You know, I would give the benefit of the doubt to the mayor. The mayor of the town is a very, 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 very difficult job. You know, he is trying very hard to bring us the kind of business common sense that will lead us forward. There are just so many problems that Mayor Rutkin has. He is working so hard and so long. I think we have to sympathize with him.
Well, you know, Why, Swami, Why, that's not very much of an answer. I mean, you know, it's not really getting to the nub of the question. I guess what he's referring to is that at this council meeting, and that was, I guess, the Tuesday meeting, you were making your speech, and you were called, they called you a racist in the middle of the speech. They said that you were a racist. Fitzmaurice said you were a racist, stood up and walked out, and then took the rest of the council with him, except for Rotkin, who stayed there alone.
Well, yes, yes, that is true.
Well, are you a racist?
Am I a racist? Well, no, no. I would certainly say no, no. Nothing.
That's another phone call. Let me see if we can get that here. I have to race to get that phone call. Hi there, on the air with Why Swami Why, Robert and John.
Hi, Why Swami Why, what ethnicity are you?
Let me ask him that question. Why Swami Why, what do you want to say where you're from?
Well, you know, my passport is not quite in order. I would prefer not to talk about that at this time.
Hello?
Yes. I would really, really prefer not to tell you exactly who I am, because, you see, I like to, shall we say, keep that a personal matter.
I'm sorry. Why, Swami, why?
Yes.
I am wanting to know, okay, first of all, is this your real name?
Yes.
It's your real name. Your name is really Why, Swami, why?
Yes, yes.
And could you give me the spelling of that?
Yes, it is Y and Swami, S-W-A-M-I, and then Y.
And what ethnicity are you?
Well, again, you know, I really am reluctant to tell that at this time. And I would, perhaps if we spoke, you know, in private, I could tell you. But on the air, I have a difficult time with it.
Okay.
I have a problem here. We're going to have to...
because it seems to me that Y Swami Y is not a real name.
Caller, you know, I...
And it seems like that's a person playing a part. Is that not correct, Robert? Is that a person that's...
Let me ask Y Swami Y what he says. But the problem with asking this question is I have about a minute left in the show. I think the answer to that question will be revealed, however, in the next show, which will be coming up on Sunday, and I would invite the caller to tune in at that time.
Okay, thanks.
Sure, gotta go. So, Y Swami Y, we'll talk more about what happened at the council. Are you, in fact, a racist? Are you a real person? And just exactly where do you come from and what are you doing here on Sunday? And also, what the heck is the city council doing removing you from any kind of public comment? Well, thank you very much, and yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Y7Y. And yes, John, go ahead. We got to get out of here.
I just want to make one final comment. Today was Buy Nothing Day. I think I blew it. I may have spent like $2, but I didn't spend a whole lot of money today. But today is still Buy Nothing Day for those of you who want to spend nothing.
Don't spend one damn dime.
Not one damn dime.
Not one damn dime day.
You,
whatever.
In fact, follow that, Uncle Dennis. You are. Uncle Dennis is arriving here. Not one damn dime? Is that?
Not one damn dime.
Wow. I don't think I've spent. I think I have spent a damn dime. No, I think I screwed up. All right, listen, thank you for being with me on this edition of Bathrooms, Piers, Broadsides. We're going out on Voices of the Homeless. This is a disc, which is an in-studio disc. And I'll be back on Sunday, as mentioned before. I will attempt to get Y Swami Y to come back as well. And we'll determine exactly what's going on. And I hope you'll join me at that time. Until then, thanks for being with me. And give a call to 423-HUFF if you have any reports, questions, comments, or stuff like that. Thanks.
Do you know me? I'm the man who sleeps in the alleyway, having bathed today. Have you seen me? I'm the boy digging through the rubbish can for myself, I think. Look at my face, tell me what do you see? Look in my eyes much deeper if you please. I'm the voice of the homeless of the world, calling out to you, what are we gonna do? I'm the voice of every homeless boy and girl. Hear me now, I'm the homeless of the world. Can you feel me? I'm the thorn in your side. Buddy, can you spare a dime? Do care for me? I'm the woman who is really good at heart, pushing my shopping cart. Oh, well, maybe someday we'll meet and won't have to pretend that we can close our eyes in this poverty. I'm the voice of the homeless of the world, calling out to you.
people.